Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, and here are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not be having benediction this evening. And then tomorrow, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass, there'll be the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. And if you would like to assist in mowing the south and east areas of the landscape, please come next Saturday after the 8:30 Mass. That's July 13th, next Saturday. There are a number of saints, important saints this week, that we just want to touch on. Today is the feast of Saints Cyril and Methodius, the great apostles of Russia and Eastern Europe. Anyone who has lineage, DNA, I guess we say today, going back to the people of Russia or Slovakia, all those areas, they owe their faith to these two great men who over 1,000 years ago went on a journey after the approval of the Pope to teach and bring the true faith to the people of Russia, and they started in Moscow. The problem was these people were so rustic, I'll put it that way, primitive, that they had no alphabet, and their language was very primitive, so these two saints took the alphabet we use and adapted it for them, and that's what's called the Cyrillic or Kyrillic alphabet that the Russians use today. And that's where the language called Old Slavonic goes all the way back to these two saints. And so the language and whole culture that they used to convert all these millions of souls, but especially the language I'm emphasizing, became a sacred language that is extinct now, because even that, as we all know, languages develop, but that became a sacred language as Latin. When the Pope was asked by these saints that they be allowed to offer the Mass in that language, he was not too pleased. So he gave approval, toleration, but it was not with full enthusiasm, but he accommodated it for these people because the Latin language is one of the unifying factors of our faith. It used to be that every Catholic all over the world would assist at Mass with the same language. Every priest knew Latin. Every altar boy knew Latin. And it was one of the ways of not only unifying the people, but keeping the faith pure, because even the Latin of the church is developed over the centuries in terms of just the vocabulary. And it was a Latin that was not the golden age Latin of such as Cicero or Julius Caesar, but their Latin was just an account of wars and events of 2,000 years ago, and then it's over. This Latin that the church uses preserves, and it are the words that keep our faith alive, especially at our Mass. So we want to mention that. Tuesday, July 9th, Feast of St. Thomas More, the great layman martyr under the terror of King Henry VIII. This man stood his ground, and he was the most intelligent and brilliant man in England at the time. And King Henry VIII knew that. but because of the king's vice and lust, he put him to death, St. John Fisher, the only faithful bishop in England at the time, and countless Catholics were slaughtered by King Henry VIII and Queen Elizabeth I because they would not bend. I spoke some years ago about St. Veronica Giuliani. Her feast is also on July 9th. We had the privilege, some of the seminarians and priests with our Father Superior had the privilege of visiting her relics about 20 years ago. No one was there at this convent, but it was an unbelievable story of her holiness and the miracles surrounding her life. Just 2 points. We got to see in this little museum they have there the clothing, parts of her habit, clothed with her blood. And also a chair that was in her cell that was charred and turned black because the devil, Satan, appeared to her to try to tempt her. And some tourists, there were no other people there at the time, but some tourists actually think, oh, well, I think I'll just sit in that chair to touch this relic. It's just, you don't even want to go near the chair. But she was not her, the amount of miracles were so great that Pope Leo XIII, just at the end of the 19th century, declared her one of the most amazing saints in terms of the miracles surrounding her because of her fidelity to the faith. She would not compromise even when attacked by Satan. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. For the eager longing of creation awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not by its own will, but by reason of him who made it subject, in hope, because creation itself also will be delivered from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. For we know that all creation groans and travails in pain until now. And not only it, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption as sons of God, the redemption of our body, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. At that time, while the crowds were pressing upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats moored by the lake, but the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, the one that was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And sitting down, he began to teach the crowds from the boat. But when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, the whole night through we have toiled and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will lower the net." And when they had done so, they enclosed a great number of fishes, but their net was breaking. And they beckoned to their comrades in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, and saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had made. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Now we see that at least most of you are back from your vacations, time off, and that's a good thing. Everybody needs time to take a break. And we want to just emphasize for those who are able to come to some of them or all of them, especially for those who came to none of them, what I'm talking about is we called it our summer Holy Week. And it really began in the last few weeks, June 20th, the Feast of Corpus Christi, a day we honor our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, a feast directed to be put on the Thursday after Trinity Sunday by God Himself. So we had a beautiful High Mass and then the procession outside with the monstrance, with the Holy Eucharist, singing hymns of praise to our Lord. And then June 28th was the feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, another feast that was put on the Friday after the octave of Corpus Christi, directed again by God to be put on that day to honor the Most Sacred Heart of our Lord, that He, giving His heart to us in a very dramatic way on the cross. It's when He, in the most graphic, most loving way, gave His heart, that it was broken, morally broken, but physically broken when the Roman soldier pierced His heart with a lance. And out of it came an abundance of blood and water, as St. John, who was there as an eyewitness, tells us. But our Lord gives us His heart when we receive Holy Communion, the Blessed Sacrament. The most important act that a human person can do is to receive the Holy Eucharist. That is why anything that keeps a Catholic, it's a Catholic, not a non-Catholic, that's sacrilege. Anything that keeps a Catholic away from receiving Holy Communion is of the devil. Because if we receive Holy Communion regularly, that is a great sign of predestination that we will reach our goal in heaven. And then the very next day, the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, June 29th. These two great pillars of the faith that our Lord, God Himself, lived with, appeared to, and taught our entire Catholic faith. Everything in the Baltimore Catechism is from our Lord through these two men, Saints Peter and Paul. So we had High Mass on the Feast of Sacred Heart, another High Mass on Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Then we took, if you want to say, a break, a Sunday, which is our busiest day. Then last Monday, Feast of the Most Precious Blood of our Lord. The very substance that God created for every human being to keep us alive in a physical way and is a symbol of life. And here our Lord, again, when we receive Holy Communion, we receive His precious blood. The same blood that is depicted in this crucifix coming from that wound I spoke about earlier. And not to forget, on the 24th of June, there was a feast, first-class feast of St. John the Baptist, who laid down his life for our Lord as the precursor, the man who would announce the Savior to the world in Palestine at that time. He prepared the way for the Savior. So we had all these very great feasts. And we're thinking of all of you, especially those who could not make it, how important they are in these days for your devotion, for your faith. Because there are very few churches and chapels that have these masses. Now we have some time to explain this epistle and gospel briefly before we have a special report. So St. Paul is telling these people of Rome about how all of us, all the Christians of Rome, but all Christians of all time, are awaiting the coming of our Lord with great anticipation. He says, "For the eager longing of creation awaits the revelation of the sons of God. Even physical creation is awaiting the return of our Savior, because the entire world will be transformed when its creator returns. The world will not be destroyed, but it will be cleansed. Because right now it's under the pain and suffering and curse by God's permissive will of Satan and his followers, the other devils who are subordinate to him, but also the devils, figuratively speaking, but really speaking, human beings who are evil people. They're not just weak-minded or people have gone astray. They have an agenda to destroy our Catholic faith, to destroy society, to destroy the family, to destroy marriage, the very essence of the family. But he says in closing in this epistle, "We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption as sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord, because we are true sons of God. We're adopted. We're not just creatures, we are sons and daughters of God." And that is a great privilege, but also it requires a lot of responsibility on our part. Because it is not a, being a Catholic is not a one-way ticket to heaven, not by any means. We have to be ready. Or else, as he says, the redemption of our body, the body we get at the end of time, will not be a body of beauty, one of glorious appearance, but it will be a curse to us for all eternity when we are sent into hell. We must be afraid. Remember we said, fear of the Lord, one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost? That is good to have, fear of God, fear of the Lord. Reverence for God, fear of offending Him. Now, this beautiful gospel about our Lord, he was preaching, but he decided to, because it says the crowds were pressing upon him. His focus was on his future priests, his future bishops, the apostles, in particular St. Peter, who was called at that time Simon. Because our Lord had a mission for this man. So, as you know, Simon Peter was a fisherman in partnership with St. John and St. James, the sons of Zebedee. But Simon was the leader. He was the owner because he was the oldest. And our Lord gave them a command because they could not catch any fish at that moment. So he said, after getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, why don't you put the nets over here into the water? So our Lord gave a command. We call it a suggestion, but it was a directive. And Simon, who was very vocal, we'll put it that way. Master, the whole night through we have toiled and have taken nothing. Just wanted sort of to defend his what he's been doing. I know what I'm doing, but at thy word I will lower the net because you've said so. And then there was a great miracle. So much fish were collected by his net that they had to call others in to fill their nets. And their nets were about to break, their boats were about to sink, and Simon Peter, when he saw this, he knew this was a divine act. It was a miracle. Because he knew fishing better than anyone at that time. He was an expert. And it says he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was so sorry for doubting. And he was ashamed that he wanted our Lord to leave him because he was ashamed of his being a sinful man. Who knows what other sins he had? So he was humbled and humiliated, but he did what any sinner, what any of us have to do, what I have to do, what all of you have to do. When you commit a sin, you say you're sorry to God and to your neighbor. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. Henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. Now that is a reminder to all the young men and women, boys and girls, if God calls you to follow him in a religious life, you follow it. You leave all and do what God wants. And that's a lesson for all of us. Because there is in theology, detailed descriptions about the will of God and how it's subdivided. There's the permissive will of God, as I mentioned before, when God permits something to happen. He doesn't directly will it, he permits it. Such as natural disasters or like earthquakes, like just happened last few days in California. He permits evil for a greater good. But there's also the signified will of God. And so we have this event of this miraculous catch of fish, because it was a lesson to teach St. Peter and the other apostles that fishing is fine. It's a noble trade necessary to keep people alive. But catching souls, saving souls for salvation, for God's sake, is far more important and noble. That's what every priest knows when he's ordained. That's what every bishop knows when he's consecrated. That is what every pope knows when he's crowned. So, to leave you with some calming words, we are going to read the collect of this Mass. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that the course of the world may, by your governance, be peaceably ordered for us, that through thy church she may rejoice in quiet devotion, so that for the remainder of this Mass you may have the flame of the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost, burning in your souls to defend the faith, to convert whatever's evil in your life, whatever's dragging you down, to get rid of it, expunge it, to pray for Holy Mother, the Church, which is in the absolute worst state she's ever been in today. Today meaning today. Because we know when we all have the same intention, we all pray that God will answer our prayers and perfect our prayers and lead our souls to heaven individually and as a group. May God bless you.